Welcome to Senior Power of Maine. Hi, I'm your host, David Neely, and as the past publisher of Maine Seniors Magazine, I know that senior power is Maine's greatest natural resource. Yes, I said senior power. Maine senior citizens are the reason Maine has the highest volunteer rate in the nation. In fact, the involvement of our seniors in community and civic organizations provide the very fabric of our cities and towns, making them great places to live. And Maine is also considered a generous state, despite our low income, with most of our philanthropy coming from, you guessed it, Maine's seniors. This radio program, Senior Power of Maine, will be filled with a combination of entertainment and information for mature audiences only. So if you are a senior partner or work with those who are, you'll want to grab a cup of coffee and enjoy our Senior Power half hour.
Patrick Dempsey.
What a handsome man.
Oh my Lord. His eyes just blow you away.
Yes, they do.
You know, he talks about his Dempsey challenge to honor his mom and her cancer problems when she was alive and how he has gone on to honor her. It is just wonderful. So that's one of the stories we have. And then I think a really fun story is, you know, we're able to find these people from Maine that it's like, oh my God, where did they come from? But this gentleman's name, he wrote his own story, and his name is Rod Williams. And he was the designer in the 1950s for all the Ford and Chrysler cars, and we have all the pictures in there, and it's amazing story you really don't want to miss.
And that's in this new upcoming magazine?
Yep, this is going to be in Maine Senior's September issue. And I know, I hear it every day, the phones ring off the hook, that, you know, we replenish and we have so many out there, you know, in Hannaford's and many other locations. But if anybody really doesn't want to miss, I strongly suggest they give us a call and take a subscription.
Something else that's a little off the subject of Maine Seniors, but I think it's something worth noting. In the soon-to-be brand-new issue of Maine Women magazine, which we also publish, Mary went up north by invitation and had a long visit with Senator Susan Collins, and she writes about it in the magazine. And this is not, folks, this is not politics, this is not Democrats, Republicans. This is a fascinating story about really our senior senator and somebody who an awful lot of us here in Maine know.
Being the publisher for Maine Women magazine, I wanted to make the magazine non-political, but we have a lot of very famous women, Susan Collins being one of them, who is from Maine and who makes a real difference for Maine.
Sure she does.
So I was privileged to sit with her for, oh my goodness, well over a couple of hours and talk about her family from Maine, and it's really an interview about her growing up in Maine. But it also, it was so interesting to me. I will share one part of it. It was very important to me to ask her, you know, does she get along with the other senators that are maybe from the Democratic Party or everything? And it was wonderful to hear how Hillary Clinton, through her engagement party, they, all the senators, Republicans and Democrats, independents, they meet
the women
every 8 weeks. They meet and they get to know each other on a personal level, and it was so nice to hear in this times of everybody wanting to hit at each other how well they get along. And so it was really a story about her and a story about how as people we can all get along no matter what our political parties are.
Well, Mary, I wanted to say one thing on behalf of Senator Collins, too, that is, of course, due to her roots in Aroostook County and the work ethic that I think people in that county are known for. And that is that in her 24 years as a U.S. Senator, she has not missed a roll call. And this is unbelievable. I mean, Margaret Chase Smith of Maine actually held that record in terms of roll call and attendance to meetings. And of course, the roll call is so important because, you know, the key really to doing anything and delivering the goods for Maine as a Maine U.S. Senator is not just to be present, but to be actively involved as much so as possible. Because then when you need somebody to vote your way, they know that they can rely on you because you show up and you vote. But she also, as I know you know this, but I mean, you know, she was the chair and now a co-chair of the Senate Aging Committee. She actually created and founded the Caucus on Alzheimer's and the Caucus on Diabetes. Now, those are all things that are very important, you know, from our perspective for all Maine seniors. And, you know, kudos to her. But I'm glad you had that story on her. And were you personally up there and talking with her?
Yes, I did. I went to her home and spent more than a couple of hours with her in her home.
So you speak to having sat with Noel Paul Stuckey and having coffee and how you thought it was just such a comfortable and casual conversation. Did you feel that same way when you sat with Senator Collins?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when you're sitting with somebody who, how do I say it any better, that really cares, and she cares about the people of Maine, and she has the warmest heart. And it was during the time right when Afghanistan was falling, and, you know, she was getting so many phone calls, and it was a difficult time for her, and you could see how much she cared. And she has tried to protect so many. She went to Afghanistan, I believe, 3 or 4 times. She went over there, actually. She's such a brave woman.
I should say. And I didn't know she'd been there.
Oh, she's been there four different occasions, trying to help the girls of Afghanistan to be educated and cared about. You've got one special person there in Susan Collins, and she could not possibly have been any warmer and caring person to me.
Well, that does my heart good.
And she also said, because I read the interview, I got to read it.
Oh.
with all of what she's done, including those 4 trips to Afghanistan, which all 4 of which were with John McCain, and Jean Shaheen, a Democrat from New Hampshire, traveled with her. But of all of the things that she's accomplished, she said the hardest work she's ever done was picking potatoes when she was in elementary school.
Oh, that's right.
I can believe that.
Yeah, so I think it's a wonderful interview. She was really very candid with me, and I hope people pick up the magazine, Maine Women, and read it. I think they'll get to know what she's really all about. And David had mentioned that, you know, she has never missed a vote. And there's a real interesting story about that in the interview. So you don't want to miss it.
Well, now you've given everybody who is a listener to Senior Power Radio and everybody who already has interest in Maine Seniors Magazine to look at your Maine Woman Magazine, because Senator Collins has done as much for seniors in the state of Maine as any politician in my lifetime.
She does. She cares, and it comes through greatly. So we should all be on, seriously.
Medicare is so confusing. I didn't know where to get help, but I wouldn't call a plumber in Arizona to fix my pipes in Maine. So don't call some out-of-state 800 number to navigate Medicare plans when your help is right here at home. The Senior Planning Center represents all Medicare Health and Part D plans. They have trusted professional experts in every county. You should call them for your free Medicare review.
Call 223-6565 today. That's 223-6565.
Welcome back to Senior Power. I'm Dave Neely, and
I'm Lynn McGregor.
Now back to Patrick Dempsey, because Lynn seemed to be oohing and ahhing. I just guess I don't know this. as well as you. But his commitment to Maine in the Dempsey Center for the benefit of folks going through cancer, cancer survivors, and even unfortunately some of those like his mom, who I believe did finally succumb to cancer. Am I right?
Yes.
Yes.
That is in the September issue of Maine Seniors, and you. Did you gain any nuggets of information from Patrick Dempsey that really sort of get inside who the guy is?
Absolutely not. I did not. Patrick is a very busy guy, so he's committed to a more extensive, long interview at another time, but I wanted to get him on the cover of the magazine, which we did, but the interview wasn't one of my long interviews, but he promised me we would have one soon.
Well, that will be good. Then you get to see him again.
That's right.
Something good to look forward to.
That's right. And then we also have a wonderful story. You know, Maine blossoms with such incredible people. I just can't believe it sometimes. But they have this program where Dress a Girl Around the World, and they have all these women that get together and sew these incredible, beautiful, and the pictures are outrageous of them sewing clothes and dresses for girls that are so poor and all over the world that didn't have any clothes, and they send them off to them everywhere. So it's just a great story. Absolutely amazing.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that one. Is there a place to donate to that, or, you know, to help them get these clothes to these women?
They do. They have I'd say, little groups of women that get together and sew these, and people donate materials. And in the magazine, you can read all about it, how you can be part of this great, great organization.
Excellent.
And things you can do for them.
Thank you, Mary, Associate Publisher of Maine Seniors Magazine, for joining us today. Guess who we've got on next?
Sarah Irish.
She's one of the stars of the Senior Planning Center, and welcome, Sarah, to Senior Power.
Yay, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You work with seniors all the time at the Senior Planning Center, and my guess is that you know there are a variety of programs and benefits that can come with today's Medicare health plans. Could you speak to some of those, Sarah?
So, yes. I mean, a lot of the different Medicare Advantage plans can come with that type of fitness benefit, which is great. Like you said, it's not just for the health of getting out there, but it's for the socialization. I mean, after last year, we miss people, and we need to be around them. It's a great feature in the Advantage plans.
Excellent point. And there are a variety of other benefits that come with the Medicare Advantage programs as well. What are some of the ones that you feel the seniors tend to either need the most or desire the most?
Well, the big three, which are the vision, dental, and hearing. I mean, a lot of seniors, and not just seniors, but need those types of services, as well as the fitness benefits. Sometimes they come with a over-the-counter card, which helps you with things like aspirin and, anything that you can get over-the-counter.
Now, you probably see this fairly often, where when folks come in, they have perhaps been online, or they might have talked to somebody about Medicare health plans, but it can be confusing. How do you usually start out with clients and trying to slowly help them through that Medicare maze?
Well, we do sort of like a Medicare 101, where we educate on what Medicare is, who was part of Medicare, how you qualify for certain things. There's lots of different questions we ask to make sure that we're getting you towards the right plan that's for you.
So sort of walk me through it. I mean, Medicare 101, I mean, most people, when they think of Medicare, it's just original Medicare they're thinking about, right? What is just original Medicare?
Original Medicare is A and B, Part A, Part B. Part A is basically your hospital stay, your room and board, and Part B is everything else, where Part B is going to, the Medicare is going to pay 80%, and you're going to pay 20%. So depending on whatever service you have, you'll pay the 20%. And at that point, that's usually when the Medicare Advantage plans become helpful, or a supplement plan can become helpful, because either the supplement plan can sometimes pick up those extras, or the Medicare Advantage has those already built into the plan. So there's also hospital indemnity plans that can go along with the Medicare Advantage plan. So there's lots of options for seniors once they actually can understand what they have for options. That's the big key. And there's a lot of information that you get a lot of phone calls, you get a lot of flyers, you get a lot of, and we're really here to try and make that an easier transition for seniors to get into Medicare.
Now, for the most part, though, are you finding that it's the aging in group that seems confused about it, or that there are folks who have been on Medicare for years that just weren't aware of the different types of plans?
Yes, all of the above. I think that when, you know, you are working in your younger life and you're paying into Medicare, you're paying into Social Security, I mean, you're just not thinking about those things. And then when it comes time, you just think like, oh, well, I've been paying this so long, I must be just getting this.
So for the most part, then, when they first come in, you do tell them about original Medicare, Part A, Part B, and that you need the Part D drug program, but that you also share with them, and my guess is part of this is the exploratory you do with their individual issues, like what meds they're on and whatnot.
It's needs-based, so all the Medicare Advantage plans and even the supplement plans and the standalone drug plans, they're all really driven by what kind of medications you take as to how much it's going to cost you. And like, you could be a husband and wife and you could have completely different Medicare Advantage plans because of the needs that you have with your medications. So it's not always just a one plan fits everybody. It's really as to what the needs are of that client.
So that some of these Medicare Advantage programs may have preferred pharmacies offering lower rates on the meds than others. Is that it?
That is correct. Most carriers are contracted with a pharmacy, and it's either standard or preferred, and the preferred gets the better pricing with the medications.
And to the extent that the people that come in there are already on Medicare, are some of them, when they first come in, are they bringing in all the meds that they're on, or do they share with you all their formulary, or is that something in some cases where you have to say, well, please, this is the information we'll need, you get to gather this and gather that?
Really, we rely heavily on the client knowing what they need, and anything they tell us about their health history can only help directing them into the right plan.
So that the formulary, as you say, the meds they're on really help direct a lot, because if you can lower their cost substantially on meds, that's a big part of it, because a lot of the coverage on many of the Medicare health plans are fairly similar otherwise, aren't they?
Yes, pretty much. I mean, there are some plans that offer a little bit more. I mean, because these companies are only allowed to keep so much money that they get from these plans from the consumer. So they have to put that extra money back into the plans, and that's why they get those things like the over-the-counter things and the, you know, the wellness wallet or some flex card of some sort. So these companies really put some meat into their plans.
And Sarah, thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it. You do good work.
With each issue of Maine Seniors Magazine, the new publisher and associate publisher have responses to letters being written, and they call this Mary and Jimmy.
Question: the questioner, whose name is John, what's beginning to drive me nuts? I'm getting more and more nervous about talking to my friends and relatives. Every casual chat seems to connect to some side of politics, and that seems to create annoyance and even anger sometimes. If I mention the awful situation with refugees from Afghanistan, I can get criticized for being on the wrong side of the whole immigration question. If I complain about taxes, I get it from both sides. I want to make a comment about a news story I read concerning climate change. I'm immediately beginning to get beat up by anyone on any side. And all I was doing is asking a question. What is it with people today, huh? Do you have any thoughts on that, Mary?
Oh, dear, this is a very difficult one. Today's climate of politics is so volatile, John, I suggest you just stop asking these types of questions and find some other subjects that don't ignite anyone. Good luck.
Yeah, and all I got to say is, so seems like we're back to unmentionables, right? You don't mention anything. Seems if almost everything has become unmentionable. I mean, I try to figure out what kind of questions to ask folks, but they all blow up in my face, and here I thought I was just obnoxious.
End of the Innocents, Summer 1963, by Barbara Beardsley. It occurred to me the last really great summer of my childhood was that of 1963. I spent most of that summer with my family at a rented cottage on Unity Pond in central Maine. Our rental was part of a little compound of cottages in a cove near the golf course. The families who owned the other cottages were friends and acquaintances of my parents, and all the kids were schoolmates of mine. Now, the reason this particular summer was so great was that we were, as a country, still a bit naive. We knew about war and chaos, and many of the adults in our summer place were World War II veterans. We knew about the dangers of nuclear war and even had been to the brink in October of 1962 with the missile crisis. But in other ways, we were still a country of relative innocence. We listened to Leslie Gore's Teenaged Angst and It's My Party and I'll Cry If I Want To. And we marveled at the harmonica virtuosity in a song called Fingertips by a young lad named Little Stevie Wonder. I was 12, so I yearned for the ultimate sophistication of becoming a teenager, which was still months away from me. My girlfriends and I dreamed of dancing with the boys when we listened to Bobby Vinton croon Blue Velvet. And we weren't quite certain what to make of the bad boy the angels described in My Boyfriend's Back, and There's Gonna Be Trouble. In our little cove, we got up early, putting on our bathing suits, and spent the days swimming and boating. On rainy days, we stayed inside and played Monopoly. Our parents had cocktails in the late afternoons on the screened-in porches of the camps, and moms created flotilla on plastic rafts during the day to gossip and catch some rays. We had canoes and rowboats and motorboats. We swam to the float and pretended we were mermaids or Lloyd Bridges in Sea Hunt. We used our goggles underwater and made up bazillions of games that kept us in the lake all day. When it was time to eat, my friend Dean's father would cook hot dogs and hamburgers on the grill. My mom would make quick and easy meals like spaghetti and salad and cupcakes. The parents would combine forces and have potluck on the picnic table. At night, we were so tired from playing hard all day that you slept soundly with the lapping of the waves on the beach as a lullaby. The sun seemed to shine most of the time that summer. The parents were enjoying their vacations and laughing a lot. A few of the older kids pushed the limits, but most of us behaved pretty well and got along with each other. The country was in a pretty good place with a remarkable, intelligent young family in the White House. We were unaware of the major events that would change our happy world. And that is why it was, in retrospect, such a lovely time. That fall, I turned 13 on November 21st. On November 22nd, the charismatic 46-year-old President Kennedy was killed. Everything changed. Really, everything. No longer were we a nation of innocents. Now, we all knew that really bad things can and do happen when you least suspect they will. I wish we had never learned that. We changed as a country on that long, horrible weekend in November. We changed as individuals, too. This was the beginning of suspicion, mistrust of the institutions many of us had regarded as above reproach. This was the beginning of a lot of more diversiveness and discord. This was the beginning of an era that saw us plunge more deeply into a very unpopular war, recoil from the assassinations of Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert F. Kennedy, and protest violently against all the injustices that were to come. It was no longer possible to feel those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer that Nat King Cole sang about. We were too frightened to go up on the roof with the drifters, as we had before, and we searched for something that would transport us to a happy place in our minds, as the Beach Boys had done with their singular American image in Surfin' USA. As the summer of 1963 faded into autumn, we were not prepared for the enormity of the changes that would soon surface. We were unworldly, ingenious, and trusting. I guess that's what I miss most about the summer of 1963.
Up on the roof. When this old world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face, I climb way up to the top of the stairs, and all my cares just drift right into space. On the when I come home feeling tired and weak, I go up where the air is fresh and sweet. I get away from the hustling crowd and all that rat race noise down in the street. On the roof, the only place I know, on the roof.
Up on the roof.
At night the stars put on a show for free, and darling, you can share it all with me. I keep a-telling you right smack dab in the middle of town, I found a paradise that's trouble-proof. And if this world starts getting you down, there's room enough for two up on the roof. Up on the roof. Oh,
David, if I want to listen to last week's episode, where do I go to do that?
All you have to do is go to seniorpower.me. That is seniorpower.me, short for Maine, seniorpower.me, and listen to your favorite episode of Senior Power. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Senior Power.
My insurance kept going up and up and up and up.
I was getting a lot of mail about Medicare.
I could never have navigated through the loopholes.
Mainers across the state are finding help at Senior Planning Center, which represents all major Medicare health plans.
Senior Planning Center was a lifesaver.
Senior Planning Center did it all.
Gave me all my options and signed me up with what I needed within an hour.
Call 223-6565. 223-6565. Help when it matters most. Senior Planning Center.com.